This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Tuesday, T-Boy. Tuesday, April 16th. And today's pod is the best one yet.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
What a week. Jack just landed in sunny San Francisco. Jack, you're looking fantastic
over
here.
Yeah, we got a T-Boy offsite here in San Francisco.
But why are you really here, Jack?
To get out the vote.
Jack and I are literally going door to door to get out the vote for the Best Business Podcast Webby Award.
As you know, we were nominated for the Best Business Podcast, but now this is the final week of voting.
We're in second place, Jack and I, and the best one yet, T-Boy, is currently behind Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway of the Pivot Podcast.
Now, we're a couple percentage points back, but voting closes Thursday, so we can take the lead again.
Jack and I are literally going door to door. We are knocking and asking all the techies in San Francisco to vote for T-Boy.
Much easier. You just have to click the link in today's episode description, and you can vote now.
In the meantime, Jack, we've got a fantastic show. What are three stories for today's T-Boy?
For our first story, it's Scrabble. Mattel's top board game just launched a new Gen Z version of Scrabble that some are calling woke.
So Jack and I whipped up the takeaway about change with a capital C, literally.
For our second story, it's BMW. The new hot car in electric cars isn't Tesla, it's a Beamer.
BMW has become the number two in electric cars because it was inspired by Burger King.
And our third and final story is the radio host Dave Ramsey. This is the pastor of personal finance, and he faces a backlash.
Jack, if you want to tell this story, then you're going to have to go on a budget for the next 33 years.
He has some austere financial recommendations.
Next caller, why are you even buying shirts these days, Jack?
But yet is, before we hit that wonderful mix
what
of stories.
A mix of stories today. Looking fantastic. Really, you look great after the flight, Jack.
Nick and I are in the same office right now.
Yeah, we are.
But we've never seen your office.
No, Jack and I have not seen your office, but we know what is in your office. And the one thing that is in your office is
a couch.
It's a couch.
A sofa. A deep dream cushion, chaise lounge. I don't know what you're rocking with.
I like what you're saying, Jack, because Jack and I are 100% certain that your office has a big, comfy couch, and we have the data to back it up.
According to the Wall Street Journal, offices are getting cushier, with sofas, couches, armchairs everywhere.
Apparently, we've hit peak office couch.
One office architecture firm called Gensler has seen a 25% increase in the number of sofas in the office.
Get this, Room and Board, they've also seen a 25% surge in office couch sales.
Because the number of office lounge spaces has doubled since the pandemic.
And Jack, let's be honest, no one wants a work meeting in a windowless conference room with a wooden chair hurting your butt.
I'd rather crunch ideas from a couch.
I would rather brainstorm from a daybed.
Or figure out the finances with Frank from a futon.
Frank, come on! Here. You're right next to me.
After all, Yetis, we've all experienced work from home at this point, and work from home is cozy.
So they're bringing the high fabric counts to the office floor,
baby. Just to compete. And according to architects, the ideal dimensions for an office sofa are 22 inches deep and 18 and a half inches high. Too deep, and you'll fall asleep.
But too low, and the ideas don't flow.
Now, of course, the only problem with a work couch.
Yeah.
As if you accidentally fall asleep.
Oh, Jack, you're saying that the only risk of the work couch is the work nap.
Because you can wake up an intern, and you probably should wake up an intern. But what if your boss took a nap by accident?
I mean, Jack, just don't spill an iced coffee on that work couch.
Big stain, small bonus.
Yetis, if your office has a couch, send us a pic of that thing.
Let's see if it competes with Nick's sofa.
Oh, that's true.
He has a Joanna Gaines approved couch at his apartment.
Yeah, Jack's staying at my house. He's crashing at my place this weekend. And you're basically staying on her couch, so it's a work couch now.
Cozy is the new cubicle.
Happy T-Boy Tuesday. Let's see those work couches. And Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor. Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
This is incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie's, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
For our first story, Mattel just made its first change to Scrabble, the board game, in 76 years.
Risky move. But we'll tell you why woke Scrabble is going to pay off.
But first, we like to tell you our favorite fact about Scrabble.
I didn't know this until
today. What is that, Jay? It's a good fact.
Scrabble was invented by a man whose last name was Butts.
B-U-T-T-S. And no, you can't buy a vowel. Yetis, the best word to describe a game of Scrabble is I-N-T-E-N-S-E or L-O-N-G.
Nick, the man's name was Butts. He had a natural resentment for spelling and letters.
Can I get two T's?
But yeah, Scrabble is a long, intense game. You're signing up for an hour and a half of intensity.
Oh, yeah. And Scrabble is actually co-owned by two rival toy companies, isn't it, Jeff?
Classic corporate M&A outcome. Mattel owns Scrabble worldwide. Hasbro owns it in the United States.
Well, since the pandemic, board game sales have been struggling.
Board games are the worst performing division at Mattel, with sales falling 24% last year.
You're not cozying up with a backgammon board and a Candyland tournament, are you, Jack? This isn't 2021.
No, it's not. So, to switch things up, Mattel is making a pivot.
P-I-V-O-T. Mattel just launched a new version of Scrabble called Scrabble Together.
But the reason Mattel did this is their research, which shows that Gen Z prefers collaboration to competition.
You want to work with a teammate to solve that grammar problem, don't you, man?
So new Scrabbles, it includes help, prompts, and clues, depending on the player's chosen, like, ability level. It's almost like the worst player gets a handicap.
Yes.
So they can compete with, like, the Phi Beta Kappa.
And we should point out that Scrabble is being sold on a two-sided board.
That's right. The new Scrabble, it's going to come with the two-sided board. So on one side, you can play the classic Scrabble. And on the other side, you can play this new thing, which is called Scrabble Together.
So not too much is changing. You got the same hourglass timer and a wooden tile letter like you used to have.
But the board comes with two sides. One side, if you want like an intense competition to see who can win. And the other side, if you're just trying to have fun.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Oh, the change yielded some responses.
Unsurprisingly, Scrabble purists are furious about this. Some are even calling this woke Scrabble.
All right, Jack, can I read you the headline in the Financial Times yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Tampering with Scrabble is a losing strategy. That was in the Financial Times.
I know, but that's an old school institution. Like, that's the Wall Street Journal of England.
The Brits are like, this is our language. We'll make the rules around here.
But if you ask Nick's therapist, he'll tell you that people hate changes in life.
Yeah. In general, you know, whether it's like a graduation stress or like a new Scrabble board, when there's change to people's routines, they tend to resist it.
So we shouldn't be surprised that Scrabble is now caught up in some kind of a culture war.
Yeah.
It's all mixed up in like generational finger pointing and work ethic.
Haters say this is like the wussification of America. It eliminates competition. It's a Soviet-Russia Scrabble.
Seems like gratuitous outrage. If you like the old Scrabble, first of all, you probably have the old Scrabble.
And it's on the other side of the board.
And it's on the other side of the board. So the new Scrabble comes with both the old Scrabble and this new collaborative version.
But I'm sorry, Jack, one second. Do you have a T, an A, a K, a takeaway? Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Mattel?
If you want to understand how to change a product, drink a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it is. In business, the one inevitable thing about change is the response. Consumers often hate it when you change something they love.
But when it comes to adding something new, instead, consumers often love it. Coca-Cola shows us both examples.
Here we go. Back in 1985, Coca-Cola introduced something called New Coke. Coca-Cola changed their recipe after 100 years and rebranded themselves to New Coke.
There was so much outrage that Coke returned to the original recipe with their tail between their legs after just 3 months.
On the other hand, in 1983, Coca-Cola launched a new drink called Diet Coke, which was...
beloved.
It got the opposite response.
People loved it. Diet Coke surprised classic Coke fans, and it became a success by the end of the year.
So the way Jack and I see it, the Coca-Cola case study tells us so much about change.
First, that changing a beloved product gets a bad response. We're seeing that now with angry Scrabble purists.
But adding a new product to the old product, that doesn't affect the beloved product, and that gets a more favorable response.
Scrabble did the latter. They introduced a new product, and they didn't touch the old product.
And that's why, in the long run, we think new Scrabble is going to get Diet Coke love, not new Coke hate. For our second story, the real surprise of electric vehicles this year, it isn't Tesla's decline, it's BMW's rise.
BMW has proved something even more important than what Tesla proved in electric cars.
But yeah, it is. Yesterday, Tesla stock fell 4% because of an internal memo.
Elon announced he's cutting 10,000 employees to try to boost profits and cut costs.
But honestly, frankly, besties, the more interesting electric vehicle story that Jack and I found was who's catching up to Tesla.
It's BMW.
Jack, we should point out, full disclosure, I'm co-hosting here with a German and econ double major. Boom, 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 boom.
Go on.
Yeah, you love cars growing up, and so you've been studying them, and you worked with them years ago.
I was pumped that BMW was one of my clients when I was like 26.
And Jack, when I visited you in Berlin, study abroad, what did you tell me about BMW?
BMW was the company that Germans wanted to work for.
Yeah, it was like the Apple of Germany.
When Tesla started innovating with electric cars, that deeply wounded the pride of Germans who believed that they were the number one car nation in the world.
Innovation in cars was supposed to come from Germany, not California.
Nick, they were deeply wounded by Tesla's success.
Well, perhaps that was the motivating factor behind BMW's surprise EV success.
Here's the news. BMW just became the second Western car company to actually profit off of electric cars.
Get this, BMW produced almost 376,000 electric cars last year. That is up 76% from the year before.
More impressive than the growth is that they actually turned a profit on those cars.
Because Yetis, General Motors, Ford, Volkswagen, they haven't made a profit on EVs. Only Tesla and BMW have ever accomplished this.
Now, Nick and I found the unique electric car strength that BMW has. It's actually inspired by Burger King.
That's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Have it your way is BMW's strategy for electric cars.
Most car companies have one assembly line for gas-powered cars and one for electric. But BMW's factories, they can do both.
In fact, BMW told the New York Times that customers should be able to choose their powertrain as easily as they choose a color.
Whether you want a 3 Series, a 5 Series, a 7 Series, an X Series, you should be able to get any one of them in gas, hybrid, or electric.
Have it your way, just like the Whopper.
And that equal treatment of gas and electric and hybrid, it's been beneficial to BMW in two ways.
Okay, first, it's helped BMW because that's helped them handle, like, fluctuations in demand.
When electric cars are hot, BMW can pump out mostly electric cars from the assembly line.
And when electric cars are not hot, BMW plops gas engines on that chassis.
The second way it's beneficial for BMW is that it lets their electric cars look the same as their non-electric cars.
Like, one complaint of would-be electric car buyers is that they look annoyingly futuristic. My dad, not a fan exactly of our Model Y's look.
Yeah, not everyone wants to be driving a Prius and have everyone know they're driving a Prius.
But BMW's cars all look alike, gas or electric, because they're made on the same assembly line.
And that's an advantage to people who don't like the EV look.
Now, Jack and I should point out that BMW plans electric-only car models and factories that are electric-only to scale in the future.
But during this crucial transitional phase, the flexible factories they have is their competitive advantage.
So Jack, hit that accelerator and tell us, what is the takeaway for our buddies over at BMW?
The pioneer is important, but so is the first convert.
Yeah, it is. Back in 2020, Tesla showed us that it was possible to profit off of electric cars. Tesla was the pioneer.
But equally important, BMW just showed that a veteran car company can do the same.
Look, until now, it looked like a legacy gas car company just couldn't transition to electric vehicles and make money on those electric vehicles.
But now we have a second profitable electric car company, and they are BMW, who converted from gas only before.
Now, in the United States, that is usually important because the United States wants cleaner cars, but they don't want to damage the existing car industry.
This news means that we don't have to let America's legacy car companies die.
Amazing!
BMW converted successfully, so can Detroit car companies.
And that is why Jack and I think the pioneer is important, but so is the first convert. Now, a quick word from our sponsor. Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
And Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy. For our third and final story, Dave Ramsey has become America's $200 million financial advice guru. But Dave Ramsey hates us millennials.
So we're looking at the most important piece of financial advice you'll ever hear.
All right, first of all, Jack, you just flew to San Francisco and Dave Ramsey is pissed at you, man.
He does not approve.
No.
He thinks I should have zoomed in or taken a bus.
Yet he's 63-year-old Dave Ramsey is the pastor of personal finance.
This is an evangelical Christian man from Tennessee who hosts a radio show and preaches financial responsibility.
He listens to people's money questions and then he prescribes solutions like a drill sergeant.
He once said that you should only find yourself inside a restaurant if you work there.
Yeah.
As your second job.
Okay. I heard an episode over the weekend where he advised a family in debt to only eat rice and beans for the next 3 years.
Only rice and beans.
That's it.
Because that family had $800,000 of debt.
Jacob, Dave Ramsey finds out your fiance has a credit card balance, he's going to break off the engagement for you.
He's going to tell you not to marry her.
He'll show up at the wedding and be like, I object to the wedding.
Yeah, it is. Dave Ramsey has a personal reason for his no-nonsense, tough love financial preaching.
Because when Dave Ramsey was in his 20s, he gained a great fortune through real estate, and then he lost it all through bankruptcy.
So he hates debt because he suffered from it personally. And so he tells his audience to avoid debt at all costs.
And then in 1992, Dave Ramsey launched a radio call-in talk show.
And today he has 20 million listeners.
Okay.
1,000 employees.
Not too shabby.
A financial advice empire.
Yeah.
And a net worth estimated at $200 million.
Sit down, stand up, and keep it in a savings account, Jack.
And he has one of the biggest impacts of any finfluencer. Can we call him a fin? He'd probably hate being called a finfluencer.
He's not a fan of it, but it's the fact. Yetis, when Dave Ramsey speaks, people listen, they change their finances, and the data backs it up.
A University of Copenhagen study showed that when Dave Ramsey's radio show entered a new market between 2004 and 2019, spending in that new market fell by 5.4%.
I said, Dave Ramsey literally affects GDP.
He reduces GDP. Because he tells everyone to stop splurging.
Right, because Dave Ramsey is famous for his taglines, his philosophy like, I hate credit cards. The only plastic in Dave Ramsey's wallet is his driver's license.
And he's famous for saying that credit scores don't matter. So don't use your credit card pay with a debit card instead.
Oh, and also Dave Ramsey discourages you from borrowing money to go to school. He just thinks you shouldn't do that.
Because he hates debt that much.
I hate debt that much.
But after 30 years, Dave Ramsey is now facing a bit of a TikTok backlash.
First, it was because of the critiques that he's just out of touch with the economy.
His advice hasn't changed to reflect the inflation economy we're in.
Dave Ramsey is not growing with the rate of inflation is what we're saying.
For example, he says you should only take out a mortgage to buy a home if it's 15 years and you can afford those payments. Does he see how unaffordable homes are right now, though?
I just listened to this Dave Ramsey episode where someone shared their childcare and Dave Ramsey was like shocked by the price of the childcare. But it was like, Dave, that's the price of childcare. Like you're getting a nanny or you're going to daycare. Like that's just the price these days.
So Dave Ramsey kind of comes off as a boomer, telling millennials how to handle their money like he did back in the day. But it might have been different back in his day.
Yeah, it is. What really caused this backlash against Dave Ramsey was an interview he did on Fox Business. Jack, should we roll the clip?
The truth is that this Gen Z generation and the millennials who caught a bunch of crap are excellent generations. What we're seeing with both of them is there is a segment of them that is very serious and very good with their money. They believe in it. They believe in saving. They believe in investing. They believe in the free enterprise system. And then there's a segment of them that just sucks. They're just awful. I mean, their participation trophy, they live in their mother's basement, and they can't figure out why they can't buy a house because they don't work.
Like we said, some of us millennials, let's just say he's not impressed with us.
He's preaching like a drill sergeant. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddy Dave Ramsey?
The best rule of financial advice, there's no one rule for financial advice.
Yeah, it is. The way Jack and I see it, just one size does not fit all when it comes to personal finance.
The reality is that everyone has their own circumstances. There's too many variables for one rule to rule them all.
Like show us a financial rule and Jack and I will show an exception.
A home purchase for a family of four in Fresno is very different than a couple of dinks living in Dallas.
And a student loan for a surgeon is different than a student loan for a history major and the ROI for a student loan for a plumber.
We actually think Dave was right about that family that shouldn't go to the restaurant.
Right, because that one specific family was $800,000 in debt. They probably shouldn't be having so many nights out.
But his blanket statements like debt is bad, that doesn't consider the person's situation, we disagree with those blanket statements.
Besties, Dave Ramsey's commandments of finance have been successful for him, and they've helped a whole lot of people out there.
But the best rule of financial advice, we think, it's that there's no one rule of financial advice.
One size does not financially fit all. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for T-Boy Tuesday?
Scrabble introduced a new version of the game called Scrabble Together that doesn't affect the old Scrabble.
And that's why we think this will get Diet Coke love, not New Coke hate.
Our second story was BMW. It's the only Western car company outside of Tesla to turn a profit on electric cars.
Well, because the pioneer is important, but the first convert is too.
And our third and final story is Dave Ramsey. He's built an empire of personal finance advice, but he's facing a bit of a backlash.
And the best finance advice, we think, is that there's no one rule for financial advice.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, despite shots fired between Israel and Iran over the weekend, oil prices have surprisingly not spiked to start the week.
Escalating conflict in the Middle East could have huge impacts across the world, especially since the oil market is kind of epicentered in the Middle East.
Now all eyes are on whether Israel retaliates, which is something the United States has advised it to not do.
Our second story, Tesla's bad news. We didn't tell you at all. They cut the price of their Model Y, they cut the price of their self-driving feature, and they laid off 10% of their staff.
Yeah, over the weekend, I got an update that I'm getting free self-driving suddenly, Jack.
Really?
So you and I are actually going to self-drive home and try this out. I haven't done it yet.
Well, they actually renamed it from fully self-driving to supervised self-driving, which is an acknowledgement that fully self-driving was kind of a misleading name.
And then the stock fell another 5% for Tesla on Monday.
And finally, we all paid some taxes yesterday. So did Mark Cuban. He tweeted that he paid $288 million in taxes this year.
Yeah, Mark said he's proud to pay his taxes. This country has done so much for me, is what he said, so I pay what I owe.
Should point out most of those taxes were long-term capital gains.
Yeah.
Because he's a hold and buy guy.
Now time for the best fact yet. This one from our Saturday T-Boy newsletter.
We dropped 6 tricks for winning at Scrabble in our newsletter. And here's our favorite. It's actually a trivia question. What is the highest scoring word with the letter X in it that you can score in Scrabble.
And this doesn't include triple letter, double letter, double word, or anything like that. This is your straight up X word. What do we got, Jack?
The longest, best X word is jukebox.
Grab those J's and hoard those X's, baby.
The J gets you 8 points. The K gets you 5. The B gets you 3. The vowels are kind of throwaways, but the X gets you 8 as well. It's a 24-point word.
Hold on to that Q, though. You may want to save it.
If you triple score that thing, that's 72 points right there.
Yetis, you look fantastic for T-Boy Tuesday. Before Jack and I retire to that couch, not a work couch, a home couch, we got a canvas, man. We got to get out there in the street, start knocking on some doors.
I'm just going to say it on this pod because this is our best chance to get votes.
Let's do it, Jack.
Click the link in the episode description and vote for the best one yet.
Make T-Boy the best business pod to win the Webbies.
Nick and I, we'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait to vote. And before we go, we got a special shout out for what sounds like T-Boy matchmaking. Jack, get this. Cliff and Michelle just got married in lovely San Mateo, California. And how did they meet, man?
They met because they both listened to the show.
Apparently, they whipped up the takeaways together, and then they got down on one knee and whipped out a ring over there.
I would love to hear the full story.
Oh, guys, we can't wait to see the pictures. Congratulations on the wedding. You both look fantastic.
And happy birthday to Jason Mudd, the best PR person who listens to the show, we guarantee it.
And Will Yan is getting his executive MBA in lovely Los Angeles. Congratulations, Will.
Huge shout out to Jacob Tritt. This boy is turning 5 years old in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Happy birthday, Jacob. And Versus Che has got a 10-year birthday in Alhambra, California. Celebrate that win.
Happy 35th birthday to Kiwook Kwan in San Mateo, California.
And Stephen Kelly is turning 40 years old in St. Louis. He's a dinkwad ass celebrating with some succulents in Mexico.
Happy 5th birthday to Mary McCall, who just turned 5 in San Francisco, celebrating on Stinson Beach.
And she's hanging out with her brothers, taking great care of her.
Happy 30th birthday to Molly Brown in Nashville, Tennessee.
And Daniel Baker's turning 33 years old in Asheville, North Carolina. Been listening to T-Boy for 3 years straight. That's a hat trick.
This is Jack. I own stock of Ford, and Nick and I both own stock of Apple. You noticed I said your therapist.
I noticed that. Nick has this rogue therapist who practices some kind of dark art.
If you like the best one yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.